welcome back. You're tuned in to the HBC Nation Radio Show and HBCU Smart TV. And today we're so blessed to have joining us for this very special segment our good friend, Dr. Harry L. Williams, President and CEO of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. And today we're going to be discussing the Thurgood Marshall College Fund's official statement on President Donald Trump's proposed FY 2021 budget. Again, Dr. Williams, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brother Ray. I love the new technology. I love the visual that I see here, and I'm excited about being on your program.
Absolutely. Again, thanks so much. It's all about making it right because we're HBCU smart. Amen.
Got it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. The administration, they put forth the FY 2021 budget. And, they've been consistent with the commitment not to cut budget items of particular importance to HBCUs, despite making cuts to the domestic programs pretty significantly. What's your take on the proposed budget and any concerns there for HBCUs?
Well, you know, as you stated, we didn't get any significant cuts. Actually, we kind of stayed relatively flat. And in this economy, flat is good.
Yeah.
Our schools are not seeing any significant increases, but the bottom line, there is a possibility of some happening because, as you know, the president, he gets the first shot at the budget, and then it goes to the members of the House and the Senate, and then they get to add their 2 cents worth in it. So there is time for us to look at opportunities for some increases in a very meaningful way for our schools. But the good news, there's nothing in there significant in terms of cutting. In terms of the major programs.
That's good. The decision to not cut HBCU funding, as you've right, you point out, the administration's recognition of the immense value of continuing to invest in HBCUs. In addition, you point out that the budget proposes targeting $150 million to support STEM.
Yes.
And other schools serving historically disadvantaged students in opportunity zones, and that bill we know was put forth by Senator Tim Scott. So elaborate a little further on that.
Yeah, I tell you, the as you know, STEM is a big initiative in this country, and to see this in the president's budget is very consistent with the priorities for the nation. And we want to see more of our students, underrepresented minority students, particularly students attending our HBCUs, to benefit from this, because we feel very, very confident that we have the talent on our campuses. And there's another incredible opportunity because they're targeting students who are in opportunity zones.
Right.
As you know, some of our campuses are in the heart of some of these opportunity zones. So to see this emphasis for disadvantaged students located in opportunity zones is very positive and encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to Senator Tim Scott, who really put forth that particular bill regarding opportunity zones, and we're looking forward to seeing how this all plays out now that it's tied into the 2021 budget and with HBCUs and this STEM initiative. Now, one thing you did point out that you were concerned with in some way that it's a very positive direction and a positive decision not to make any cuts, but there were if there's some things that could happen that we are concerned that could be of material harm for HBCUs, and that comes down to proposing to eliminate the federal supplemental equal opportunity grant program and cutting the federal work study program in half. That could have a particular impact that could cause some harm to HBCUs if that actually came to pass.
Yes, that's true. And not only HBCUs, this could harm minority students in general attending all the public and private universities in the country. So that is something that we're going to work with our members of Congress to try to get restored. I mean, this has been sort of consistent with the budget coming from the president as it relates to FEOG, Federal mm-hmm. Educational Opportunity Grant mm-hmm. Program. They've done this in the past, and by talking to the negotiators who work with kind of going through the budget, we've been able to get those funds back in mm-hmm. because they do play a critical role for students in terms of their ability to stay in school, their ability to have these dollars to get additional supplies for the students while they're there. So they do play a critical role, and they're sort of like last chance dollars for some of our students. So we're gonna work really hard to try to get that back in if we can. And I feel, based on what we've been able to do in the past, that there's some positive energy around that.
Mm-hmm. You saying would we relate to our concern about the Pell Grant program, you think, also, even though we're looking at the combination of expanding the eligibility of Pell Grants and short-term education programs by also cutting it simultaneously to $3.9 billion from the Pell surplus. As you put out, that stands to put the long-term viability of the Pell Grant program into jeopardy. And of course, and I love how you do this, Doc. You get right up front to address your concerns and your issues. Same time, you know, the things have been going smoothly, but it's kind of been consistent in how they've been putting things forth. But as you said before, the Congress, they get the opportunity to sit down and mark it up, and typically things have been working out in our favor. Would you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you know, that surplus is critical that's right. Sitting out there. And we would love to see a bigger increase in the Pell. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Got to keep up with the cost of living here. As you know, at one time, the Pell Grant, many years ago, covered almost 70%, 80%, right. In some cases, 100% of the cost, mm-hmm. depending on the school. If it's a two-year school, it covers right. everything. Mm-hmm. And now that's not the case because the expenses have exceeded the actual dollars coming in because it costs more to go to school. Mm-hmm. But the Pell Grant has not been able to keep up with the cost of living as it relates to the changes there. So we're hoping that we can see some increases in that, and we're recognizing that it didn't get cut, so that's a good thing.
Right.
These students need these dollars. The federal dollars, as you know, the Pell Grant is the dollar program that's set up. These are in dollars set up for our most needy students.
Right.
And these are students who families come back with zero expected family contribution to get right. the maximum Pell. Right. And we do have a lot. And that means that their families, based on their federal income taxes, do not have any set aside dollars to pay for their education. And these federal Pell Grant dollars help supplement those students.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to the HBCU Nation Radio Show and HBCU Smart TV. And today we're blessed to have joining us for a very special segment our good friend, Dr. Harry L. Williams, President and CEO of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. And today in this special segment, we're discussing Thurgood Marshall College Fund's official statement on President Trump's proposed FY 2021 budget. Again, Dr. Williams, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Brother Ray. And one thing I want to acknowledge, and we haven't, I'm sure you might have this on your agenda, but right. as you know, the president did sign the Futures Act, which
that's
was
right. exactly.
huge mm-hmm. Lift to our schools. And that's permanent funding, $255 million for 10 years that automatically renews over that. And that's something that is very, very significant because this is law now. And mm-hmm. this was what we were pushing for. Actually, right. we were pushing for a two-year extension on that. But we were able to get a 10-year
right.
Commitment. Senator Lamar Alexander.
I was going to say that. Shout out to Lamar Alexander, Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of concern and some angst for a while. That was like, come on. Yeah. And, Congress had passed and this and that and all that. But as it always seems to do, it worked out.
It did.
But you know what? One reason why I think it works out is because of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund and your leadership and the Ford. You continue to work very constructively with the White House and the Congress. And we appreciate that, Doctor. Really do, man.
Thank you.
It takes that, you know, and particularly the climate that we're in and all that. But because of your diligence and your commitment, as I said, and you point out also in your piece, to work constructively with the White House and the Congress to ensure that we strengthen the programs vital to HBCUs and PBIs, it's making a difference. And there's a particular momentum, as you point out, that you can build upon that we have seen pass over these past three budget cycles.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to acknowledge up front, it was T himself, we were out front, but we had other partners out front with us. UNCF played a critical role, as you know, mm-hmm. In being there with, we were all in there together.
Right.
NPO played a critical role. I mean, we worked with the Hispanic Serving institution, Native American institution. We all came together for this. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it showed, that mm-hmm. we're stronger when we're one.
Exactly.
And we come in together as a team, and it was a total team effort behind this, and we kept the pressure on mm-hmm. because the deadline was approaching where those dollars were going to be, students were going to need them.
Oh, yeah.
Making decisions on whether or not they were coming back to school.
Yeah.
And people were talking about laying people off. So it was critical to get those dollars back in.
Yeah, it got real tight for a little while, man.
It did. and you helped too. I mean, you really did. Your radio program helped. Sure. You personally helped.
Absolutely. Well, we're out of here advocating. That's right.
Absolutely.
Effort. That's what we're doing. What we're doing right now.
Yep.
Because as someone said, teamwork makes the dream work.
That's it. That's it.
I said that. Now we're blessed. And just the other day, you dropped a piece and you published a piece in ACT, the Center for Equality and Learning, a piece entitled "The Role of HBCUs in Our Nation's Success," and that piece, and that's really powerful, good stuff. It really ties into our discussion today about the budget, you know,
right.
the role of HBCUs, and that's why we advocate what we do. So let's kind of talk about that a little bit, and what you spoke about in that particular piece, the role of HBCUs in our nation's success, and why it's important that we all understand that.
So we were asked to do an op-ed piece for ACT and their platform, mm-hmm. And it's a new platform, and we wanted to highlight the significance of HBCUs, and we wanted the world to know this. And by using this blog, we were able to tell the story associated with the successes that's happening on our campus, successes that continue to happen that some people may not be aware of. So this op-ed piece focused on that. It focused mm-hmm. on the way our schools have played a critical role in this country mm-hmm. in helping this country out. And it was well received. And it's something that I think that we're going to do more of mm-hmm. in terms of getting the good news. I mean, the good news out that's happening on our campus, because there are more good things happening than not.
That's right.
So, you know, sometimes we have unfortunate things to happen, and we tend to put our energy on that.
Right.
But what we're focused on, not only acknowledging that, but focusing in on the many, many, many good things that's happening on our campus. And that op-ed was one of those pieces that we shared that to the nation.
Mm-hmm. Very well done, very well received, and we're all about, again, promoting HBCU excellence, innovation, and sustainability.
Right.
Dr. Harry Williams, Thurgood Marshall Carter Swim President and CEO. As you know, Thurgood Marshall Carter Swim was established in 1987 and is the nation's largest organization exclusively representing the Black college community. Again, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join the broadcast today. And shout out to our good friend, Paris Denard, who always makes sure that we stay in the loop. We appreciate you guys.
Brother Ray, before we close, I want you to know we're having our annual fly-in next week where we're bringing in 30 of our presidents in to meet with members of Congress. It's going to be a two-day event. Congresswoman Congresswoman Almond Adams, we're going to do a fireside chat.
Okay.
So it's going to be a great event for our campus school.
Okay. Well, we're just getting the notifications. We can be there, we can come, we can cover that and make sure that we put it across our networks, and looking forward to being the nation's capital with you for the annual Thurgood Marshall College White House HBCU Presidents and Chancellors Fly-In.
That's it.
From the Hill. So I'm looking forward to being there and seeing you. And thanks again for always keeping us in the loop, Doc.
Thank you. Thank you to your team.
Great work.
Okay, appreciate it.
Take care. Until next
time. Take care. Thank you.